I'm going to ask Pastor Josh and the Reverend John Amenhauser, the recently healed Reverend John Amenhauser, to come up. And we're just going to have a conversation. I'm going to let Pastor Josh kind of lead this. He had a revelation that he wanted to share. We'll let our most senior member sit in the middle here. And he has no idea what we're going to talk about. So there's going to be on the screen, I think you have slides for how to text some questions. So even during the word, while it's happening, text and even say, I'd like to ask John, explain to me the Trinity, you know, whatever it is, you know. So here you go.
Yes, we were talking about that before service. There's 86 years of ministry time between us. I contribute very little, very little.
I have the most.
Yeah. So as you can see there, we just thought this would be an interesting way. If you want to throw something in, you get a question or a comment, Pastor Wade and I's numbers are up there. You can text us, and that way we can just kind of fit it in as we go. His flip phone doesn't text. Yeah. So Pastor Wade and I were talking the other day, and I've been in 1 Corinthians 3, which is talking about that quote unquote reward ceremony, right? And so Pastor Wade was saying, hey, well, let's put it up there and talk about it. But as I was putting the slides together throughout the week, I thought, you know, there's some things in this chapter that require a little bit of teaching before. Because if y'all are anything like me, how many of you know we can read the Word of God a little bit wrong? Right? So that's why we value our teacher, to help us rightly divide. And so we're going to do a little bit of that. I'm going to stand up or else I'm going to be twisted the whole time. You can go ahead to that first slide. So our main text is 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. I now realize you can't read that. it's okay. You guys have phones and Bibles. We'll make it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now I want you to get really visual with this, okay? So imagine a foundation, okay? If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. Pay attention to that word work. Of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. That's a happy ending, isn't it? So, yeah, it is a happy ending. Because if you just stop before that part, it's like, oh, man. It's a little discouraging. So here's why I wanted to do a little bit of teaching before that. This whole message, the beginning of it, is titled Reward, Inheritance, and Salvation. Okay? How many of you know those are three different things? Okay, is salvation a reward? No, it's not. It's a gift, right? Do we inherit salvation? We do. See, this is what I noticed was with that question. Do you inherit salvation? Yes and no. It's actually both. And the reason it's important to know the when and the where of how we read that is because if you read it wrong in one spot, you're going to be really afraid because it's actually pretty scary. You know, and I don't have these scriptures in there, but, you know, those ones where it lists all these negative things and it says, those who do these things won't inherit the kingdom of God. Well, dang. I mean, that makes it sound like salvation is by works, does it not? Right? So there's some discerning that needs to happen in between. Go to the next one. The next one. All right, so that word works, you can see there's the Greek G2041, and the word literally just means toil, effort, work, okay? Go to the next one. And of course, we know from Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of, what's that word there? Works, same word, okay? Now, that word works is the same word used in 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, each one's work, G2041, will be tested. But we're not saved by it, according to this scripture. So you see the division there. It's worth looking at. Next one. As I said, salvation is not a reward. It is a gift. Next one. Okay, so inheritance. This is the one where I really spent some time. Because, as I said, there's a lot of scriptures where, you know, it says, these people will not inherit the kingdom. How many of you have read those scriptures? Okay. Nowhere in the definition of inheritance is the word kingdom or salvation. Nowhere. And in the definition of the word kingdom, salvation and inheritance is not in there. Those scriptures are not talking about salvation. Okay. So let's look at this definition of inheritance. The definition is to the person to whom property is to pass on the death of the owner. Another is one to whom something has been assigned by God, on possession of which, however, he has not yet entered, as Abraham. Okay. And I'm skipping to the last one. One who receives something other than by merit, okay, as Noah. All right, go to the next one. Okay, another way, this is another definition of inheritance, is used of Isaac and Jacob as participants with Abraham in the promises of God, of husband and wife, who are also united in Christ, of Gentiles who believe as participants in the gospel with Jews who believe, and of believers as prospective participants with Christ in his glory. So again, we don't see in there, when we talk about the word inheritance, it's not exactly defined as we use it when we read it, at least for me. Okay? Next one. We're going somewhere, I promise. And this is the verb. It means to literally inherit. Now, when we talk about those scriptures where it says shall not inherit the kingdom, they're using it as a verb. They're not using it in the context of inheritance like it's something you're owed because you're written in the will. It's not being used there. It's being used like a verb. Like, you know, if I find a $20 bill on the ground, it makes sense to say, I just inherited 20 bucks. Does it not? Right. Exactly. Acquire. That's a great way to put it. So this requires delineation, okay? So inherit sometimes is merely just used to, I now possess, I have inherited, okay? Next one. Is there a next one? That's okay. Okay, so you guys know this scripture, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And it's basically, you see what I've got in red there. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Right? Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. So here's an instance, inheritance is salvation. Okay, now go to the next one. In Colossians here, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Again, it is used that way. Okay? Go to the next one. At the very bottom there, this is Hebrews, and it's talking about inheriting the promises, receiving the promises. So why am I spending this time saying all this? Because if we use the word inherit one way, we will either be terrified or blessed, depending on the page we're on. Okay? And if we don't realize that inheritance, reward, and salvation are different things, we can get a little mixed up. Okay? So it's worth pointing out. Does that make sense? I think that... go to the next one. Okay, so now we're to the main crux of the text, which is that reward. Okay, this part is where I was really getting a lot of revelation, because you see here I've got listed those components the silver, gold, precious stones, you know those all mean something. They have significance. Would you like to know what they mean? Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about. But again, it's very important that we realize this reward ceremony is about, it's important to recognize what we do matters. And when you hear that, most of the time people are using it as a club, like threatening you with hell. No, it matters because we get to be rewarded by our Father. And that's what this is referring to. Okay? Now, there's some negative ones on here. I want to know what those are too, because I don't want to do those. I don't want to do something that's going to be burned up and useless. Amen? So, let's, before I go any further, you guys have anything?
I was just thinking, you know, it says we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So the inheritance that Christ has, we have. And
yeah. Yeah, that there. I took out so much out of that brief little summary, but that was one of them in Romans 8, that, you know, we do get to expect an inheritance. There is something that someone died for, that now we are written into a will that we are owed because of their death, right? That's a beautiful thing. But again, for me, all of a sudden, if you don't realize that those words mean different things in different places, you read scriptures that, hey, if you mess up, your inheritance is gone. It's very scary, very scary. But then you read in 1 Peter, that inheritance is incorruptible. It's being used as a verb about receiving. So it totally changed a lot for me. Do you have something, Pastor Witt?
No.
Okay. And again, you see up there, if you guys have anything, if you want to text us, we are available. Go to the next one. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. So if you can go back to those components, Christina, the silver, gold, precious stones, it was like three back. Yes. Okay, so we were talking about this at our home group Thursday. Why do these matter? Why is it worth looking at? Well, this is what the Lord was speaking to me about, that, you know, we can do things that we think are good things, but are they God things? Because I don't want to just do something and say, well, this is a good, honorable thing. I want to do it because my Father told me to do it, right? And that's what he was speaking to me about with these components, is that I know this person, and they have this ministry, and I'm using very big quotes, and they are forcing this ministry on the world and God, and it's not blessing anybody. And, you know, it's just obviously it has no life in it. Nobody wants to be around this person. They flee when they see them coming. Because on paper it's good. But it is clear God did not tell them to do that. Right? I would submit that is wood. Now, wood, when you look at in the Old Covenant, what is wood used for? And the two big things. One is to hold up an offering to be consumed. Okay? They would build these wooden things and the sacrifice would be placed on this altar. The fire would burn it up and take everything. Okay? Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? But what sacrifice are we to hold up? Yes. We are holding up something else to be worshipped and received by God that we made. No. No. That is, it's not okay. What was the other thing wood was used for? Carving idols. Right? And I left out this beautiful scripture about God talking about these, their wooden idols. And he says, that thing can't talk to you. That thing doesn't hear you. Right? But see, we people do that. They make this thing that it's like, guys, look how important this is. And it, you know, Jesus has a beautiful phrase. He says, wisdom is justified by her children. If it's really God, it will birth something good. If it's really wise, it will be self-evident, and it will give birth to what wisdom gives birth to. Amen. You guys have anything on wood? What else do we have here? Well, let's go there. Yeah, you had something on that one. Yeah, so interestingly, this word hay is only used twice in the whole Bible. I was pretty surprised to see that. In the New Testament, this is the only one, is in 1 Corinthians 3. It's just in that list of stuff that's probably going to get burned up. The one instance it's used is in the Old Testament in Proverbs 27:25. And I didn't put a slide together for that, but I'll pull it up on my phone. If you guys want to turn there, Proverbs 27 and verse 25. Is this making sense so far? All right, Karen's getting something. Listen, it matters what we do. I hear people say all the time, it doesn't really matter, I'm going to heaven. It's not a great attitude, to be perfectly honest. It does matter what we do. Because I have a master who loves me, and I want to love him back. Not because I have to, because I get to, because I want to, right? All right, Proverbs 27:25, it says, when the hay is removed, the tender grass shows itself. There's a lot more there than that scripture says on the surface. When the hay is removed, well, before I elaborate, Pastor Wade. Yes.
This is kind of what got the thing started. We were talking on the phone, and this is what we do. We just sort of Holy Ghost brainstorm things, and it's like that Lance Wallnau video where the Holy Spirit comes in to the conversation and revelation is being fed to you. And I could instantly see just me mowing my grass when it's been tall for a little bit. Like when I came back from Ecuador, you know, it had almost 2 weeks worth of growth. And so there's these big clumps that lay there. And if you don't remove it, it kills the grass, because hay is just grass that's been cut. That's what it is. And if it's not removed, it will harm what's supposed to be bearing fruit. And so here, you know, people are thinking, hey, this is good. Look at this. Hey, this is good. No, sorry. But it's like, this is my works. But that works is actually choking out what is actually fruitful. And again, it goes back to, is this something we should be involved in? Is this something that we should be doing? There's a lot of people that, again, it's noble works. There are things that they're doing, but it's going to be consumed. And as long as we're doing that, then we're not doing what should be bearing good fruit, if that makes sense, because it's taken away the light. That's what it does. It covers it, and it takes away the light. So it's harder to hear from the Lord if we're just doing our own thing. We need to hear from him and do that, and do that only. So that was all I had.
I was just thinking about Tina and I were driving today. We went past the field, and in this field were a bunch of these big round bales of hay. If you leave those bales sitting there, nothing will grow beneath them. You know, so we need to realize that our, and I don't like to use the word works, but our activity for God should be a continuous thing, not something that we're looking back at what we did. And see, I can look back at what I did as a pastor 50 years ago. God is looking at what I'm doing today. The bales of hay are there. My rewards are there. But I'm not done getting them yet.
That's good. Amen. That's really good. That's really good. Yeah. God's not into one-hit wonders. He likes lifers. Amen. I was thinking, too, about the hay, you know, about John 15, about when we're pruned. Well, if we hang on to what was pruned, it's just killing what's underneath, like Pastor Wade and John were saying. It's, you know, and it's like what you were saying, Karen. The thing gets knocked over, we'll get rid of it, right? Same thing. Yeah. So let's go to the straw or stubble is how it's worded in the King James. So this one, if you do a word study on stubble, it's all over the place. And it's never good. Not once. It's usually wickedness, sin, uselessness, vanity. It's burned up like stubble. XYZ is burned up like stubble. Here's the good news. I found grace in the worst one. It's burned up and you're saved. Thank you, Jesus, right? All the bad stuff is stubble. It gets burned up and we're saved. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That is worth it. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say what stubble is, and this was back to our conversation, because I started getting really excited about this. It's the piece in between cuts. So something's been pruned, but then there's the stubble, so it gets cut again. It's like when I shave my face, then by 5 o'clock, some stubble has shown up, and I want it gone, right? I want that off of there. It's irritating. If I get around my little girl, she's like, "Daddy, your face is spiky," you know, and that's stubble. It's irritant. And so anyway, but it's between the cuts. It's between the cuts. The Lord has pruned something, but it requires continual attention or stubble comes right back. Stubble will continue to keep coming up. It will, and you have to continually deal with it. And I think that's something that we use grace for, is this needs to be removed. This needs to be removed. So there's a constant removing. It's not what I do, but it's what I allow the Lord to do. You know what I mean? Because we can have victory in an area and then find ourselves with stubble in that same area. So,
can you hear me all right? Yeah. When I was a kid, we had dairy cattle. They ate the hay. They did something else with the straw that ended up in the manure spreader. And I think that's kind of the difference. The hay is good. The straw is something that goes out and gets spread on the field so the hay will grow better.
It's good. Yeah. It's only
fertilizer,
right?
Yeah. Only fertilizer. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the good news, too, is it's like, you know, that stubble, it reminds me of things we've been forgiven of, but we're not letting go. Like, that we're not forgiving ourselves of. It's been removed, but we're holding on to it. That needs to go away. It doesn't bless God for you to hold on to that and whip yourself with it. And I'm talking about me. I do that. I am an emotional self-flagellator. I tell you, like, if I do something wrong, it's hard for me to get over it. It really is. But it doesn't bless God. He's not asking me to take any punishment for it. Amen. You can go back to that list there. So now we get to the good side. And these are really beautiful. These are really beautiful. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:7. Aha, our first text message. So, can we compare stubble to dross or impurities to be skimmed off? You know, I think we could. That's kind of what actually, right, what we're going into is gold. You know, that dross, you know, that's what you do to purify gold, is you melt it. You get it really hot, and everything that's wrong comes to the surface. And that's what dross is. So why don't we read 1 Peter 1:7. And actually, let's do 1:6, just for context. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, there's always a correlation between gold and faith, right? It's not how much gold you bring with you. It's how purified that gold has been, right? Well, I mean, you can have 20 pounds of gold, but if it's 30% full of impurities, right? But what if you had that 99.9% stuff and you had 1 pound of it, right? That's a car, right? So Do you guys have anything on that one, on gold? Do you have anything, John?
Well, I think that's an excellent parallel with the draws and the stubble. The, you know, it's something that has to be dealt with.
It's something that's mixed in with the good, and it needs to be yanked. So.
Amen. So that one's pretty straightforward. Yeah, I know. It is. Okay, two, silver. Now, this one, there's a lot of talk about silver, but it's not really clear. I spent the most time on this one. What it seems to be significant and represent, and I've, you know, I Googled it, and a lot of quote-unquote theologians said the same thing. It seems to represent truth. How truthful are we? Right? That may not seem significant, but there's such power in being honest with yourself and with others. Right? It's walking in love the most to tell someone the truth, even if it hurts. Right? It's the most humility to be honest with yourself before God. Right? So truth is like silver. It is a precious material that God has quite a bit of value for. And I just love that one. Did you guys have anything on silver?
Remembering the in the Proverbs.
Okay.
Find it. It talks about a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver.
Mm.
So it's also how faith is presented. I guess I yeah. should.
Yes.
Here it is.
Okay.
Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So silver becomes the presentation. It becomes the plate that we present the gold. You know, so this is the setting for my faith is truth, which that's, wow, that's amazing. I'll spend some time with that. That's pretty awesome. But anyway.
That's powerful. You can go back to that element. And this is the good one, the really good one, precious stones. Now, this one, if you look in the Old Testament at the high priest, they would wear this chest piece, right? And it had all these stones on it, okay? Those stones represented the tribes. So precious stones are people. Now just get this in your head, guys. Don't let this blow by. At that reward ceremony, you get to say, Jesus, I brought you some precious people, some precious stones. I just feel the love of God and the pleasure of God in that. That's most valuable. That's most valuable. In fact, it's in... 2 Peter, I believe. Let me see here. Here it is. 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. It says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. It's talking about us. We're those precious living stones. And we get to bring those to Jesus. That's just beautiful. That's beautiful, isn't it? And it's, you know, it talks about that in Revelation, that sea of crystal. It's a precious stone. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's one of those stones on the Old Testament priests. That's in that list is crystal. That to me is just so valuable that people carry that value to the Lord.
I read commentary once that I thought was really kind of cool on the stones thing. When you read in Revelation and some of these other, you get amethyst and I don't know, all these stones. I don't know, most of us, maybe some of you would. Yeah, now maybe, I never was too familiar with what that stuff was and I thought, yeah, okay, whatever. Where are the diamonds? Aren't the diamonds worth something? Isn't that the top of the heap? And then I've read a couple of times, it must be true. We've been bushwhacked or by this diamond thing. This goes back to the 1800s or 1700s or something. some guy owned a whole lot of real estate upon which there were lots of diamonds. And in order to exploit what he had, he very cleverly marketed diamonds as extremely valuable. They've become a woman's best friend. They're not. They're just a result of very good marketing. God knew that. I think a person who knows gems will say in most cases that good quality stones of this type are far more valuable and rare than diamonds. Diamonds are kind of commonplace gravel. But it's good marketing, and it's gotten into our heads. So much we get jammed into our heads incorrectly. And then a second point on precious stones was the individuality of all of us people. Diamonds, you know, they're all kind of the same. Well, they can have this cut and that cut and everything else, but it's a diamond. You get into these, and there's so many precious stones. And it's an appreciation for the individuality that each of us is.
Yes. That's the truth. You know, personally, if I had to choose one, I love sapphires. Have you guys ever seen a sapphire in the sun? It'll make you cry. It's the most beautiful, rich blue. It looks like the ocean. Man, it's awesome.
I just wanted to say, while we're on this, and I was sensing the love of God too, you're the precious stones. You are the precious stones. Sue, you're a precious stone. Nicole, you're a precious stone. Tina, you're a precious stone. Mally, Arwen, you're precious stones. Karen, Linda, Larry, you're the precious stones. Wolfgang, Deborah, you're the precious stones. Amy, you're the precious stones. Jenny, Anita, Chris, all precious stones. I mean, we can just go through the whole list. But that's, I want to say that to every person here. You are the precious stones. It is people. And that's what matters. That's what, you know, in Corinthians, it talks about that the things that we can see are temporary. But we look to the unseen. Those things are eternal. So what are we talking about? Think of this room. Everything in this room, including our bodies, will not exist one day. It will vanish. It will be gone. What will remain are the spirits of the people that are here. The only thing eternal are these spirits that are sitting here today. And you're the precious stones. Raphael, your precious stone. Nan, Maria, Jay, Robert, Josh, Francesca, Gail, Stan, you guys are the precious stone. Josh, and we have a diamond right here.
Since you called me a diamond, thank you.
Yeah.
Good diamond. Good diamond. Yeah. The one thing I was thinking about this also was the fact not only are there your precious stones for someone who brought you to the Lord, there's a soul winner's crown. We get double rewarded when we bring a soul to Christ. Not only the crown, but the precious jewels and precious stones that you are.
Yeah. I should have researched that. There's so much there. You know, that's the thing, is these rewards, it's not about walking around with a bunch of jewelry in heaven. It's really not.
Not my bling.
No. Yeah, it's not that. Because here's the deal. The streets are paved in gold. The foundation of the most holy place, what's it made of? The stones that are inlaid, you know, his throne. What is it, emerald? I mean, there's plenty of it, right? But it's what it means. What does it represent? It's the thank you from the Creator. That's what it represents. And I want that. I want that. Amen. Yeah, that's really, that is the list. I thought it was necessary to bring that up, that I know for me, it's easy to just, yep, I'm saved, I'm good, and then stop. But there's a world that needs saving. There's a world that needs to know their Savior. And this verse the past few weeks, so this scripture in 1 Corinthians 3 has really reminded me just to keep my eyes up and open, that every human being I pass may or may not know the Lord. And also, being very careful, I'll just give you a brief example of something that's not God, but it's good. Okay? You know, I used to be a fireman. God didn't tell me to do that. I did it because I thought it would make my dad proud. And it was a good thing, right? In my 7 years, I came out as a lieutenant. We got one save, just one. One person lived from all of our work, which is great. It's worth it. But God didn't tell me to do it, right? And his recognition or confirmation is a better word, that it was the right thing to quit that was, you know, I asked God, I said, God, is this really what you want me to do? Because all the joy was gone from it. It just felt like I was uphill, upstream. And I just felt like there was a resounding quit, which, you know, doesn't sound like a message that you want to hear. Quit, you know. But I felt like it was God. Walk away from it. And here's the deal. If you walk away from it, you can't go back. You have to go through school again. And let me tell you, they call those guys second turners in school, and they're looked down on. You don't want to go through again. But, you know, here was God's confirmation. I left within 1 week to the penny. The money that I lost from the fire department, I had been given raises. And it, to the penny, it came right back within a week. That, if that's not God's fingerprint saying, yes, you did the right thing, good. And you know what? It's opened up so much for me here. You know, I was able to pour myself into the church, which is where I belong. So that's an example of we can do things that are good, but is it a God thing? Right? We don't want to just read word. We want the living word. We want the now word. We want God-breathed word, right? And it's the same with our lives. What are we doing? Right? Is it God? If it's not, prune it off, throw it away, don't let it kill, don't let it sit on top and kill what needs to be green and live, right? Does that make sense? Man, you guys got anything?
I just wanted to say, for me, you know, it really there's two halves. There's the wood, hay, and stubble, and that's what is burnt and goes away, and then there's the gold, silver, and precious stones. For me, I just want my efforts to be meaningful. You know, we only get time one time. You know, this is the only generation we get. This is the only season I get. And, you know, if Jesus tarries, we were talking about sometimes people have a rapture mentality like, hey, it doesn't really matter. You know, let's run up all your debt and we're out of here, you know, kind of thing. No, we need to occupy, and it needs to count. This is the only lap I get, and I want it to count. I don't want to put effort into something and then find out, ooh, he didn't tell me to do that. And I've done that. I mean, when I took the teaching job, you know, I was just moving in that direction, and then I realized the day I had to give them an answer, Lord, I didn't even ask you. Are you okay if I do this? And if he would have said no, if I felt a check that this isn't good, I would have stopped it right then. That's it. You know what I mean? I mean, me personally, not to make it about me, but it's the testimony of Caleb is the testimony I want. I want the Lord to say of me, he followed me fully. And I don't want anything to burn up. Nothing. I don't want anything to burn up. Praise God. And I've done it before. I've gotten involved in things, and later, it, like you said, it's like trying to sweep water up a driveway. It's like you're intense effort, and you're not getting anywhere, you know, or running in mud. It's just not good. You're working really hard for not any results, and that's what we want is God results. And so it requires me to be in fellowship with Him. That's the only way I'm going to know. It's not just getting peace on a situation. I need to be in communion with Him. And so we're going to take communion here in just a little bit, but I just need to be communing with Him so that I have His heart. And that's what I want. I want what I do to count, to matter. So do you have something, John?
I was just thinking that as we walk through this life, every single individual that we meet is a jewel in the rough, waiting for us to polish it into the stone that Jesus died for on the cross. They're all precious stones.
Yeah, that's so good. If we can, let's go back to that main scripture and read it in the light of everything we've been talking about. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. It's worth noting, not what size, what sort. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. Amen.